NZ On Air Music presents Long Player.
Kia ora, my name is Anthony Tonin, and I'm talking about my new album, Leave Love Out of This.
God, it's been quite a while since your last full album release, but we've heard some of these like singles over the past few years. What's been the progression like since your last album, Successor, and Leave Love Out of This?
It started the same way that I seem to always move from one project to another, is that I tour an album, and then I start rearranging the same songs from that album, and then start incorporating the new songs that I'm writing to a new set, and the live always drives the new recordings. And so I was touring Successor quite a lot overseas, and I mean, when we finished Successor, we first did a band tour of New Zealand, and that was really fun, and we played the songs the way that they sound on the album. But then I wanted to start touring it in Australia and the US and Europe, and there was just no way to do that with a band. And I wanted to make my solo show fuller and bigger and more interesting, I guess. And so I started experimenting in a very naive way with electronic music. And the way I started first was very DIY. I went to the Music Electronics Library. I did a night class with Pat Krause and made a Matrix mixer and a VHS cassette tape. Which is just a very, very simple piece of technology. And it just meant that I could take an iPad with a little 808 app. Because I was in my 808s and Heartbreaks phase, finally, like, listening to that record a lot and loving it. And so I was like, what is this 808 thing? And there was this app for $2, which was the interface of an 808 on an iPad. And so what I started doing is I had a keyboard on stage, I had all of this Velcro, and had lots of guitar pedals Velcroed to the keyboard, and I had an iPad Velcroed to the keyboard, had this Matrix mixer Velcroed as well. And the Matrix mixer allowed me to send keyboard sounds and guitar sounds and the 808 sounds and mix them all together with guitar pedals in the Matrix mixer. And that just sort of started leading me down the track. And I was refining this and getting better technology. And the Deluge came out as an instrument, and I got one of the first ones. And I flew to the Netherlands to play with the Veils, and I completely rewrote my set to work on a Deluge. And the way that I did it is, I don't know how I did this stuff, because I couldn't do it now, but I had a 36-hour flight to the Netherlands, and the Deluge is the size of an airplane train table. So I rebuilt all my songs into the Deluge on an airplane tray table on two long-haul flights.
It sounds like it was made to do that,
almost. Yeah, it was, and it was pretty funny being the guy with the flashing lights in the plane.
Well, that's so interesting that it kind of all started with this visit to the Electronic Music Library, really.
Yeah, exactly. It really did. And, what I would say to people is, you don't have to spend heaps of money. You don't have to go out and get the Ableton push straight away. You can do cool stuff with the cheapest of crap.
Let's talk about the title track.
Title track we finished first, I believe, or it was maybe a race between that and Lockheed Bomber. Like the rest of the album, I made it with Jonathan Pierce, and Leave Love Out of This is one of the four songs that Jonathan part wrote. I was really excited about Leave Love Out of This. It was a really different song for me, and I knew it, and I had this melody, and it was kind of soulful in a way that I don't normally do, and it was a piano ballad, and it had this one of those just magic, like, accidentally hit the wrong things chords, which is the leave love. The love is a is a C triad with a D in the bass, which is a little bit jazzy, but somehow works. But the problem was when I pretty much, I had that and I had the and that was all I had for so long. And I finished the melody, and I finished the music, and I still didn't have the lyrics. And it took 2 years. It took 2 years to finish the lyric. And I nearly got kicked out of the lab practice rooms in Mount Eden because I was sitting above a couple of the people there just playing that song every day, trying to get the lyrics and driving people crazy. But we got there, and I remember I had a really great session with Jonathan where I played him Leave Love Out of This. And on Leave Love Out of This, I think I didn't have as many of the, maybe I only did, you know, typical me, I like only did the chorus once and didn't repeat it. And he's like, no, you have to repeat it more, and you have to say Leave Love Out of This more than you did. And then he also found on the last chorus, it descends into an E minor D C thing. Leave love. So it kind of does the chords backwards. And he came up with that, and it was just such a moment getting that.
Bring no history, bring no secrets with you. We will put nothing at rest. Spend an evening singing in the war room. But leave love out of this, leave love out of this. When you're speaking, speaking present tenses, stay in a moment that exists. The future is irrelevant to you, the past isn't must. So leave love out of this, leave love out of this, leave love out of this, leave love. Someone who believes now. Well, bury your anger tonight, bury your frustration. I found it like this. For illusions that we could still resist. If we could trade emotion for clear mathematics and leave love out of this, leave love out of this, leave love out of this, leave love. And I
So when I'm wrong, the verses for this song I wrote, I remember writing some of them on a plane. At this time, I was touring heaps. I did four tours of the US, mostly like tour swapping with my friend Shenandoah Davis, or you know, I think we did two tours together in the States, and then she helped me book a third and fourth, and it was such a grind, you know, like, and quite terrifying. Like, there's just so many things that could go wrong, and when you're not in New Zealand, you're outside of your safety net, and sure, you have health insurance, well, like travel insurance and stuff, but sometimes it just feels like you're just on an open ocean storm in a little dinghy. And at the time, I just started seeing Kalia, who we're now married, but at that time, we had a 6-week rule, so I was allowed to do a tour of up to 6 weeks, and if it was any longer, then we had to find a way to fly her over, and she would do it. And I think I did one 6-week tour without. No, I think I did two 6-week tours without her. I was writing this verse on a long haul flight. It was either from New Zealand to America or was back from America to New Zealand, and you just, when you're worn out like that, you just start to get some perspective and just go, is this worth it? Like, and you know, so I guess it was coming from a time in my life where I was switching from believing I was this underdog taking on the establishment to going, oh, I'm just a normal person. I just want to be happy, you know? You know, when I was 23 and living in Auckland and going to the art gallery openings and delighting and taking the free beer and just going, I'm Robin Hood stealing from the rich and giving myself beer. And you know, I'm never gonna try to be comfortable. I'm not gonna sell out and everything. And then by the time you're doing something like doing a 6-week tour on no money and taking huge risks, and when you've got a partner as well, and you're thinking a little bit ahead and going, you know, is this responsible? Should I just try to find a way to be more comfortable so that I can be a better partner? And you know, so that song is just a song of weakness and self-doubt and doubting one's own opinions, which I think is a healthy thing.
Who's gonna hear my confession if you're not awake for this call? I used to be able to take on the world alone. I used to pride myself on having no allegiance at all. But I was mining myself, I was mining myself for too long. Now I'm wondering where my resources have gone. When I'm wrong, I am wrong. And in the language of these cities, I can hear I've tried to disguise this every way that I can. You said, maybe you'll get what you want. Maybe not when you want it. Maybe at some great cost. Maybe you won't recognize it.
Okay, the next track is the opening track, Entertainment. It's inspired by events, I guess. So I used to be a bartender at Golden Dawn, and one night I finished my shift, and I was in the men's loos, and a gentleman just started talking to me, and he was a famous sports person who was also a television host. I won't name names, but he was drunk, but he was very lovely, and he took me under his wing that night, and he bought me many vodkas, and he just decided to impart his life's lessons to me. He told me about how he'd moved to Auckland when he was 16 or 17, and how he'd quickly become independent because of his sporting brilliance and his ability to buy a house at 17. But he came from such a different world view, like just completely different values and all the kinds of things that when I was that angry young man in Auckland, I was against. But it's just nice to sit down with somebody and speak or listen, you know. I had a good time. It was a funny night, something to talk about with the odd friend occasionally. Anyway, a couple years later, Jonathan and I were recording. We were recording in what is now a car park of Roundhead, Neil Finn's studio. But there used to be this little building there, and we was there some evenings at the time when there was a campaign to save Campbell Live, when it had sort of been announced that they were going to shut down the show, and there was this sort of shake up from the new board, and they were going to kind of redirect. They were going to redirect what that television station was doing and who their market was. And I felt really shocked by the process. And I think we were sort of hanging out there on the night that that Campbell Live finally lost. That, you know, even though they got so many more viewers through that campaign, the end was inevitable, and just that huge moment where John Campbell's walking out of the building and there's cameras everywhere, and you know, he's reflecting and he's talking about, you know, the need for public interest journalism in New Zealand and that kind of stuff. And it was quite, and you know, being in the bubble that I live in and lived in then, you know, everybody I knew was just so shocked. And it turned out to be only the start of a couple of years of feeling like there was a war over what the real people wanted, and we were just totally losing. And for some reason, what I do when I think about an issue is I try to see it from the other side, see it from the opposite side, and that makes me feel better. And I was thinking, well, what's the way in here? And as I was coming up with this music, the sportsman who'd given me the vodkas came to mind, and I thought, well, what would he think? And this is a guy who'd worked in television, and I knew that he would be egging on the cancellation of the show, because he just came from a different side of the team, I guess, and from the other team in terms of that battle. And so I wrote it from his perspective, kind of egging it on. But also, he has that character in that song has some valid points about the way we approach the people, you know. I try to write for no reason, and I try to let the song lead me rather than me lead the song. And sometimes the perspective that comes out is a different political perspective than I have myself.
Who we were making it for.
the secret last track called Lockheed Bomber. So it's side C on the record. So if you get the regular record, it comes as a download code. If you get the deluxe, it comes as a 7-inch, which you have to turn over halfway. It was actually the second song I finished, and I had the music first, but I just had this line about a Lockheed bomber. I don't know why the Lockheed bomber came to me.
What is a Lockheed bomber? Is that is fair?
It was one of the most common planes in the Second World War. So it was made by Lockheed Martin. The specific plane. So the Canberra Air disaster happened in Australia. So it happened during the phony war period of the Second World War. So nothing much was happening in the war at that point. But you know, you had this new thing called an Air Force in Australia, and they had a bunch of these new Lockheed planes. And so I actually went searching for a story to do with a Lockheed bomber. And then I got the first verse, and then the rest of the song started to flow out of that story, because I came across this incredible story, which is the story of James Fairbairn, who was the Minister for Aviation in the Australian government. And he was a plane nut. In this era of planes where you had to be rich to be interested in them, and the people who were into them just were obsessed with them, and they had like three or four planes each, and they had their own airstrips on their farms, and they often died because the safety was just terrible. One of the only flaws was that they could be hard to land. There was a sort of a glitch. There's a bit of controversy about this crash. So the way that the Minister for Aviation died, he died along with the Minister for War and the Chief of Staff of the Australian government and all of their supporting staff. I died in a terrible air accident, and it actually brought down the Australian government. And it's funny, it's a big story. It never touches the New Zealand consciousness. In some ways, this song, and it makes sense because it's writing it closest to Successor. In some ways, there's always a bridge between one album and the other, and in some ways this is the bridge to Successor because it's a lyric-heavy song, and it's a story, and it's almost like a long-form journalistic narrative.
Lockheed Hudson, Mach 2 bomber, from Melbourne to Canberra, and from the air you wouldn't know that the world is at war. Just another mild winter, the snow surrenders from the highest hills. And how did you get here? From a dream you left the farm for, to the sky you got, boys at your command. And this morning you rang for yourself and the war minister, the chief of staff and the people around you, to make the trip in a beautiful new plane from the USA. You've been waiting to get your hands on, but waiting till Canberra to talk about the war. Leaving till Canberra, all that's looming over. When you were 20 years old and shot down, only a buggered arm to tell. You knew it couldn't always end so well. Meeting the ground. But once you have your wings, it's hard to keep your head down. You ran for office in your district. You put an airstrip on the farm. And you taught your brother to fly. He taught his wife. And she flew them on a Sunday in 35. Right into the ground. Now you look at this perfect machine. Took another war to give it its wings. And you've got boys in England ready to do anything. Like
Peacetime Orders. This is a mysterious song. I started this finger picking pattern in San Francisco. I was touring with Shenandoah Davis, and she took me to see an old friend of hers in Marin County, which is the ex hippie area of the Bay Area. Across the Golden Gate Bridge. So when you cross over from Golden Gate Park to the other side, you get to Marin County. And it's funny looking at this stuff with perspective now, because it was right at the start of the sort of, you know, I guess when it started, I didn't really have a consciousness of this idea that people on the left could kind of go a little bit crazy and, you know, could start getting down some wormholes and some conspiracy holes and stuff. And anyway, we had lunch, a very, very expensive lunch, and we walked along the beach and stuff. And And the conversation sort of delved into the psychology of Marin County, and it's probably the first place that I started to encounter this idea of this kind of left, but a little bit conspiracist left. And anyway, this guy that we were having lunch with was sort of telling us about how the community there in Marin County were. Some of them believed that the residue from Fukushima was going to make it, you know, after a year or two, it was going to make it over to San Francisco. And, you know, they were worried about... And so that's where that line comes from. You know, here in California, they're getting upset at the water flowing back. And it's something to just work with this nice kind of... this finger-picking pattern that I was working on. And... And then there was another song that just couldn't be finished for about 2 years. And by the time I finished it, Obama was out of office. I wrote it while he was still in office. And I wrote it while he was just starting to really hit the big hurdles. And it became a little bit of a lament for just lost opportunities and just the disappointment of the years of that administration and the disappointment and disillusionment with consensus politics. And at the same time, it started going into this darker place because it's like, well, if this doesn't work, then what does? And then, well, does that lead you down your own kind of hole where you start to be, when you start to become attracted to more dictatorial thinking, you know, do we need a benevolent dictator to fix this, or and that's its own, and that's where the unease in the song comes, and there's no answer in this song at all, there's just unease, it just has a dark question, and it just descends and descends.
Difficult for the family, now you're living. Without our peace broker to soothe the long-term plans, but you found a lasting work saving that country from its cracks. Here in California, they're getting upset at the water flowing back. I hear rumors of you, your quotations ripple through the news. You didn't need to wait long to see your warnings proved, did you? Come on, say it. General MacArthur had a love for the Far East, so they made him an emperor, told him to win the peace. Yes, we know proclamations, oh, fine intentions never really plug the leak. First to come and go, leave no mark on the sea. But we still wish in secret dreams that you could feel what he felt. Just scuttled the plans you yourself. Tidings of you written in two barrels of waves, rolling into sea with all you try to say. Too late, too late, too late.
Some of the production on this is really my ode to Auckland. You know, I came to Auckland as such a brat and such a by that time, even though I grew up mostly listening to mainstream music and Britney Spears and Nelly Furtado and things, by the time I arrived in Auckland as one of those kids from Dunedin who only wanted to hear guitars with no effects and real drums and real bass and all that kind of stuff. But you know, over the years living around Grey Lynn and you know, meeting people who had been in Auckland in the 90s, I became really fascinated with the club scene in the 90s in Auckland and just the stories of High Street and that sort of thing. And in some ways, even though to some people it might not sound like it, this is production wise, this is my ode to industrial Tropicana in Auckland.
Long Player. Thanks NZ On Air Music.